With you today, if you'd turn with us to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, we are on Facebook, and I was in a meeting this week. Any of you that's on Facebook page, you can share it, it'll go further. We have about 1,000 views a Sunday, and through this strange time when Moses has died, there's a lot of people listening to preaching all across this country. So let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. I'll read 2 verses. Joshua, chapter number 1. I've been in here for several weeks, and we're just trying to wade through these waters through the Word of God, and I hope this will be a blessing to you this morning. The Bible said, and it does matter what the Bible says, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Man could preach all morning right there. "It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." Isn't it amazing that Moses had a minister? Every preacher needs somebody. Every preacher's wife needs somebody. Every Christian needs somebody. Moses, watch this statement. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you that we have a place that we can come apart from this old world. And God, hear the old, old story sung by song and preached from the Bible. I want to thank you for the kindness of the people of God at Liberty Baptist Church and their faithfulness. We want to thank you for everything of how you've been faithful to us. I pray now that you touch those on our prayer list and do things that only you, our great God, can do. And Lord, I pray now you'd let preaching be easy a few minutes. You'd use us to be a blessing to the people of God. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've been preaching out of the thought the last few weeks on Moses is dead, what now? Moses is dead, what now? You remember that I alluded to, there was a great commotion. There had never been a prophet like Moses. There had never been a man that was used so mightily as Moses. Could you imagine a man that there, as he went to the Red Sea, with a lot of theologians say 2 to 3 million people, that God parted the Red Sea, and by the way, they went across on dry ground. I'm glad there's still a God that can part our waters in this day and this hour. Can you imagine that a man in your membership, a man in your church family, that he could talk to God on your behalf and God would do great things? And so the Bible said that God talked with Moses face to face. Moses had a direct line to God, and God told him many marvelous and great things. But now Moses has died. I want to ask you something. Can you imagine the change that happened amongst this culture with these people? By the way, I read this week that they had reverenced Moses. You remember that Moses, the Bible said that his eyes were not dim. Moses was a man still of reasonable health. But God took Moses because of disobedience. It reminds me how faithful and how merciful God has been to me in the times that I've been disobedient. But he required Moses to go and speak to the rock, and the children of Israel had highly frustrated Moses. And so he called them rebels, and he struck the rock twice. And God told Moses, he took him up on Mount Nebo, and he said, "Moses," he said, "because you've disobeyed what I've told you to do, you'll be able to see the promised land, but you'll not be able to go into it." So this whole process, God was raising up Joshua, Moses' minister. And so now God is speaking to Joshua to take the children across this Jordan, to take his children over into the Canaan land and the promised land, the land that God had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that he was going to carry his people across out of Egypt. Is anybody glad that God got you out of Egypt when we were in bondage of sin? But God has delivered us from that bondage and now has taken us over into Canaan's land. Heaven is not Canaan's land. Canaan's land had enemies. Canaan's land had walls. Canaan's land had great rivers. And so during this time of when Moses has died, what now? There was a great commotion. There was a great disturbance. Could you imagine? And so as I was reading, I got a little sidetracked telling you this, but when Moses died, God hid him. God wouldn't let them find Moses because they thought so much of him. No doubt they would have built a shrine to him. And listen to me, Liberty. I won't preach long this morning, but just let me deliver it to you out of my heart today. They thought so much of him that they mourned his passing for 30 days. It sent a total hush across that whole camp. Their total days had changed. You know, we must realize in this day and this hour the things that is happening in our country, in our lives, in this culture. We're experiencing changes that we thought we would never see in all of our life. But I come to tell you today, the same God that spoke to Joshua is the God that's still speaking through His Bible this morning. And so in this, Moses is dead. What now? What do we do? What now? There was a great commotion, but there was a great commission. He said, I want you to arise and go over this Jordan. And then I preached on it was a great commitment. God said, I want to let you know something before you get started. As I was Moses, so I will be with thee. As the children were singing a while ago, it reminded me, you know, I'm glad that the God of Moses is my God this morning. And I'm glad He's your God. And I'm glad He's a God that's not got old and senile. He's not a God that's up there twiddling His thumbs, wondering what He's doing. Well, preacher, what's He doing? He's being God, and He's good at being God. Because nobody can be God but God. And I'm glad I know who He is this morning. So I want to preach this morning out of this text, Moses is dead, what now? But I want to change the title of it a little bit this morning. I want to preach on this thought. Moses is dead, why now? Moses is dead, why now? Brother Drew mentioned a while ago, maybe this is the time that God wants His church to go into the deep waters. Now, there's three things that happened that really that I've seen this week in studying the Word of God. In this thought of Moses is dead, why now? What do we need to do? Well, I want to say by going across this Jordan, this place it seemed was impassable. They didn't have a boat to get across. They didn't have a ferry to take them. They didn't have a plane to fly them. This Jordan that had risen, if you'll read about it, it was some 1 mile wide crossing, and it overflowed. And by the way, look in your Bible, said it overflowed. Oh Lord, it overflowed His banks. I'm glad He owns both sides of the river this morning. And nothing takes Him by surprise. So these children were experiencing a Jordan to get across like they had never seen. They heard these rushing waters. They heard noises and sounds that they had never experienced. They seen sights that seemed to be impassable. But yet they were commissioned to go over. I wonder this morning by way of preaching, what's keeping you from getting over? Is it hurt feelings? Is it maybe a death? Is it a change in your life? But we must all understand this as a church, that we can't bring Moses back to life. Things change. People change. I'm not 25 years old anymore. I used to could hit a golf ball and make it look like an aspirin going out through yonder. Somebody say amen. Them days are over, Brother Dave. Things change. Places change. I remember the places I used to hang out when I was a young man. Now, that don't do nothing for me. Things change. And so we must realize that we are a people that we must change but not change. So here in this book of Joshua, Moses is dead. Why now? I want to say, first of all, they had a message worth spreading. They had a message that was worth spreading. Matter of fact, I preached about it last week in Joshua 1 and verse number 8. He said, I tell you what you need to do, Joshua. Something is going to happen that's never happened. You're going to have to start getting your directions out of this book. Now, something many of you might not know about. Joshua had never had the book. Now, he has Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He's got five books that he's never looked into. Why? Because Moses has always given him the direction. Young people, let me tell you something this morning. This book that the book of Joshua is talking about, and it's just not some book, it's this book. For it is inspired and it is inerrant, and there's not a false word in the whole story. So now, Moses is dead. Why now? Well, they had a message that was worth spreading. Brother Mike, they needed to take this book across. If there's ever been a generation, listen to what it says, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Watch this, young people, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Watch, and then thou shalt have good success. Let me tell you something. It's not the knowledge of the Word of God that we have. It's the knowledge of the Word of God that we hold in our heart. It's what does something in our life and in our homes and our community. You see, you can hear all the preaching that's ever been preached, but until you apply it in your life, it's not going to help you any. You must apply this book to your family and your life and to our church. So Moses is dead. Why now? Well, there was a message worth spreading. This message brings balance. He said, I don't want you to turn to the right or the left. Get in it and stay in it, mom and daddies. This book will keep you out of the ditch. There's a lot of families in America that are in the ditch. But this book will keep you balanced, church. This book will keep us balanced. Loving sinners and exalting the Savior. Worshiping God. So they had a message that was worth spreading. Can I tell you, there's been many times, Brother Adam, that I've got up and preached, and I'll be honest with you, I wish it was a handle on the pulpit, Brother David, that I could just hit it and I'd just disappear. Felt like a complete failure. But I want to ask y'all something this morning. How can a preacher be a failure when he's reading the Word of God? Because the Word of God brings life. There's times in here on Wednesday night, Brother Mike and these men are preaching to a camera all by themselves. And I've been here. I've heard those hounds of the devil on my shoulder. Nobody's listening. You're wasting your time. This don't even make any sense. But let me tell you, when a man is preaching the Word of God, it's always right. And so they had a message worth spreading. Church, Liberty Baptist Church, do you think we have a message worth spreading? We're running nearly 60 missionaries out of this ministry. They're taking the Word of God all across this nation and other countries. I wish that we would realize the reason we've got to get over, because there is a message worth spreading. What is that message, preacher? It's not only about this book, but it's what's inside this book. Jesus says, and there's one way to heaven, and that's by God's Son, by shedding His blood on an old rugged cross. That story has not changed this morning. So church, we must realize that things have changed. Moses has died, and there's a reason that God wants us to go over in this day and hour, because there's a message worth spreading. Have you told anybody about Jesus this week? Have you witnessed anybody on your job or at the supermarket or where you're pumping gas? God will allow you to share the gospel because there's a message worth spreading. I'm glad I've heard it before, Brother Mike. I'm glad that some of the men that are in heaven told me about it. I'm glad God called me to preach. I'm glad God will call others to preach, Brother Lee. I sure am glad there's a message worth spreading this morning. Jesus says, God is good and He's faithful. And so we see here that Moses is dead. Why now? Well, they had a message worth spreading. You see, God had, listen to me, God had to get them from here to here. And just maybe, God is moving the church from the lackadaisical approach of there to get us to wanting to do something with the gospel here. So this morning, Moses is dead. Why now? Now, I want to be the first to say in way of preaching, I would love to bring him back to life. I mean, who wouldn't? I love doing things the way I've always done. I went in a drive-thru restaurant up in Kentucky a few weeks ago at a little burger place called Culver's. I'd never seen this. I pulled up to the window. I gave them my order. And the young lady was nice. And she reached out. She gave me a table topper with a number. And I didn't know what that was. And I looked at her, you know, sort of like at a calf at a new gate. And she said, put that on your mirror and pull up. So I put it on my mirror and pulled up. Directly, a little girl come out with a tray and give it to me. Now listen, that didn't change the taste of that hamburger. It just changed how I was getting that hamburger. Are y'all with me this morning? Matter of fact, it's hard to say it. I walk up to Culver's and I say, I want a butter bacon burger. That's a mouthful, amen. But it is wonderful. I wish one would come down and bow. And somebody say amen this morning. But my goodness, children of God, listen to me. Moses is dead. Why now? There's a message worth spreading. Number two. There's a multitude worth saving. There's a multitude worth saving. You say, well, preacher, I just want to stop this Jordan, throw my hands up and not do nothing. I want to remind you today, there's a multitude worth saving. Joshua 2, watch your Bible. One of the greatest stories I've ever read. Joshua 2, this multitude worth saving. Now, in this is what happens, for sake of time. Joshua sends two spies across, and they go into Jericho. Jericho is right across this Jordan, and they knew when they got across Jordan, they had to face Jericho. Let me tell you, there's a lot of battles in the Christian life. Young families, I'd love to tell you, if you'll serve God and be faithful to Him, you won't have no issues or trouble. But that's what the TV boys have preached this morning on the mega churches. Let me tell you, if you serve God, you're going to have trouble. But I'm glad there's somebody to get in trouble with you this morning. The Christian life has never been an easy road. Never. And so this multitude worth saving. Chapter 2, verse 10, I want to say, first of all, the blood is vital. Now, they wanted them to go across with the book, but secondly, He wanted them to go across with the blood. You know, talking about changing, but not changing. There's some things I'll never change on. Matter of fact, I've changed on one thing. I said, there'll never be a camera in a church where I pastor at. I've eat that crow. But let me tell you some crow I won't have to eat. It will always be the blood. Hey! It'll always be the blood of God's darling Son that gets sinners to God. Oh, I'm enjoying preaching too much this morning. A multitude worth saving. Watch your Bible. Chapter 2, Joshua, verse 10. They get to the harlot Rahab's house, or to Rahab the harlot. Now, if you'll read about this, the walls of Jericho were so fortified, this woman lived upon the wall of the city. She was well known throughout the community. And she didn't have the best testimony in the community. Matter of fact, they called it the harlot's house. She run a bad operation. And so Joshua sent spies into Jericho and they come to her house. And so this is what she tells them when they get there in verse 10. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites as on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, look what she told them. Our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God of heaven above and in earth beneath. Now this is what she done. The old wicked king of Jericho heard these two men came to her house and somebody run told him, said, the Israelites have sent spies in to see about our city. And they sent the soldiers to Rahab's house. And this is what they said. Is there some men coming here? She told a lie. She said, no, I ain't seen them. But she had hit them up on a roof in a basket of flax. And when they left, she brought these men down. And look what she does. I want to read this though. It's so good. In verse 11, she had heard about who they was, what God had done. And look what she says. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She said, I've heard about y'all and your God. And I want that favor. I wonder, is there anybody wanting the favor of God in their life this morning? Well, there's a way to go about it. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Verse 13. She said, give me a true token and that it will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. She said, you know what? Not only do I want to be saved, I want my whole house saved. Is there anybody here this morning would love to see your whole house saved? And so this is what she does. The men answered her. Look what they said. Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us this the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. We need to have the attitude of them spies. They knew in their heart that God was going to do what God said He was going to do. They said, we're taking this land. God's give it to us. Can I tell you, as a child of God, God's given us many things that the devil don't want us to have. Verse 15, here it is. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get you the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, till the pursuers be returned. Afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father, mother, brethren, thy father's household home unto thee. And they use the word in verse 19 twice, and whosoever. I'm glad that's in our Bible. They said, I tell you what, this line that saved us that you, oh Lord, said this line that you let us down the wall in, this line, this scarlet line, this bloodstained line that saved us, said, if you'll put it in your window when we come back to your house, said, everybody that's under that bloodline will be saved. Amen. Can I tell you, this bloodline has saved others, and it can save you this morning. And can I tell you that this plan was so simple, the simplest could understand it by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But you must, by faith, have this blood. So, we see here, no doubt, as they wanted them to go over, there was a multitude worth saving. I want to say the blood is vital. You don't get to heaven without the blood of Jesus. If you'll ask a lot of the who's who's crowd today, they'll tell you many roads lead to God. There's one road that leads to God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one man between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who paid a ransom for all. He died for you. And He died for me. And so this plan is so simple, but this plan is vital. Young man, have you ever been saved? Young lady, have you ever been saved? This plan is vital, and it's so easy to comprehend. You must move by faith toward God. So this blood was vital. Then look in chapter 2, verse 21. This blood was visual. The Bible said, and she said, according to your word, so be it. She sent them away, and look what she done. They departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. What'd she do, preacher? She just accessed faith. She just seen herself as a sinner. Have you ever seen yourself lost and undone without God and wanted to do something about it by faith? Can I tell you, God will let you do it this morning to trust His Son to get you to heaven? Not only was this blood vital, this blood was visible. She put that bloodline up in her window. Can you imagine the faith and the courage that this woman had in Jericho? Now this was a heathen nation. Can you imagine someone come by and said, "Hey, what's that red, what's that red line in your window?" She'd say, "Joshua's coming." Joshua's coming. You're going to save my whole house. Can I tell you, it can save your whole house this morning, the blood of Jesus. You see, I believe with all my heart one reason God wants us to go across. And don't forget, church, there's a multitude worth saving. She was the harlot Rahab. They took the blood across and told her the blood was vital. The blood was visual. But the blood was very valuable. You say, why you say that? I want to show you something. Joshua 6. The blood was very valuable. Joshua 6. They cross the Jordan now. They go in, the walls of Jericho fall flat. The Bible says in Joshua 6, verse number 22, Joshua said to the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman," watch this, "and all that she hath, as you swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, watch. I want to ask something. I wonder who you're going to bring out with you. I wonder who you're going to have enough burden for to bring somebody out with you. For she had reached her father and her mother and her, watch this, "and her brethren, and all that she had, they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel." Watch, "and they burnt the city with fire." You don't hear that kind of preaching no more. But can I tell you, Jericho's going to burn down one day. This whole world's going to be destroyed by fire one day. And there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun this morning. This blood was very valuable. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, on the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put in the treasure of the house of the Lord. Now, watch this. Watch this, verse 25. Don't forget this. I'm about done preaching. I'm letting the landing gear down. Just hang on with me a minute. "And Joshua," which is interpreted Jesus, "and Joshua saved," watch, "Rahab the harlot." Underline that. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot. Now, this is an amazing thing what's fixing to transpire. You talk about this blood is valuable. It sure is. Now in Hebrews chapter number 11, I want you to look at her. Hebrews chapter number 11, I want you to look there. And you'll find her in verse 31. There are two women in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Sarah and Rahab. Now, I told you in Joshua that she was listed as Rahab the harlot. She had some junk after her name. She had some baggage after her name in Joshua, because she's always listed as Rahab the harlot. See, that's what you're seeing to do. It'll bring a lot of baggage and bad times on your name. But when you're washed in the blood of Jesus and God writes you down in the book, your name changes. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. What's the difference? It's a big difference in Rahab the harlot and harlot the Rahab. What are you saying? In heaven, when God saved her by the blood, she didn't have any sin after her name. She was known earlier in the book of Joshua as Rahab, and then her sins was highlighted, the harlot. But now in heaven she's written down, her sins are gone and now her name is nothing after their name. I'm glad my sins are gone from my name this morning. Thirdly, lastly, I know some of you are glad. Moses is dead. Why now? You see, because there's a message we're spreading. He wants us to go over. Church, listen to you, preacher. He wants us to go over. Wants us to go through. Things have changed. We've got to be smarter. We've got to do things different. But He wants us to go over because there's a message we're spreading. Number two, there's a multitude we're saving. But number three and lastly, there's a ministry worth sharing. A ministry worth sharing. Let me ask you something. If our church dies, what happens to another generation? You know, I could simply do this. It's too hard to do what we're doing. Man, I've been here 26 years. I've never seen nothing like this. I'm not going to adapt to all this. I'm not going to allow Facebook in our church. Well, there'll be some Sundays, Brother Mike, I'll be preaching by myself. So why does He want us to go across? Because there is a ministry. A ministry that's worth sharing. Now, watch this. And maybe I'm going to give you a little highlight. Maybe I can preach here next Sunday because it's so strong. Joshua 3. I want Brother Drew and him to be coming. I want them to sing a song, whatever you want to sing. You can sing a song you've already sang. I don't care what you sing. This ministry we're sharing. And I want to deal with this right here. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 5. Before they went across, and church, if you get about anything I say this morning, because this is as far as I'm going to go, I want to deal with it next week. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Preacher, what's that mean? This ministry we're sharing. Well, God wants us to clean up and shine, shine, shine. Sanctify yourselves. I can't make you live for God. Brother David, Brother Adam, Brother Lee, they can't make you live for God. But we must want something for our own lives. Sanctify yourselves. And He says, I want you to know something. Before you go over, you got to be clean at heart with me. I want my heart right. Brother Drew, I'm trying my best to quit preaching, but I've just got so much preaching in me this morning, I just can't hardly contain myself. You know what this has done? This can be good and this can be so bad. Not my dog, but my iPhone. You know what this has done? This has made America not to blush anymore. Because we see so many crazy and wicked things. Talk about sanctification. That means a purity, a Christ-likeness. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to adopt worldly things into our church. We're to be a separated people and love people and magnify our God. You're not better than nobody else. Hey, the harlot Rahab, who would have went into her house and witnessed to her? You know why? Because there'd been 100 Baptists that had seen somebody go in there. They had sent an email to everybody. Oh, preacher went down there and witnessed to that kind of people this week. Shake a little Baptist head up and down. I'm still a preaching this morning. So be careful that you don't pass judgment on somebody that you don't know nothing about. Y'all say that's good preaching in Bowden, Georgia this morning, preacher. Brother Drew, I love you. I'm proud of you, son. I mean, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you raising your family. Young people, I look around. I preach at many places. It's just people my age and above. I commend you young families for being at the house of God this morning. I commend you young families, Lily, Chloe. I commend you young people, Carly. I commend you young people wanting to know something about God. Sanctify ourselves. Get cleaned up and let's see what God can do with us. I can remember before we added that wing on and this wing on, it was standing room only in this place. Well, I'm not going to quit preaching because there's not that many people here no more. I've got to move ahead. I've got to adapt. I've got to adjust. But I've got to take the book and the blood with me as we go. Somebody say amen, preacher. Things have changed. It's different. Oh, there's a message worth spreading. Oh, there's a lot of messed up people need saving. Y'all say, I'm not...